This morning, like I promised you last week, I'm going to deal with neutralizing the curse of dishonoring fathers. Neutralizing the curse of dishonoring fathers. Because we are talking about Galatians 6:6, and we are honoring the father of the house today. Let's talk about the curse, how you can neutralize the curse of dishonoring fathers, which is also, I would say, called the curse of Noah. Or I would also call it the curse of Ham. Or I could also call it the curse that is sitting on African people today. It is the curse of dishonoring a father. It has terrible consequences. I want to start by reading for you another verse in Malachi. Come with me to Malachi chapter 4, verse 6. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. The Bible says, "His preaching will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Otherwise, listen, I will come and strike the land with a curse." In other words, if the hearts of the fathers don't turn to the children, and the hearts of the children don't turn to the fathers, God says he will come and strike the land with a curse. Now, the reason I always like to teach you about this relationship with your father is because I didn't know it growing up. And I don't want you to not know it growing up. Because it opened doors for so many curses, and people are not aware of that. Here is God saying that if the preaching, and my prayer is that the preaching of this morning will indeed turn their hearts, not the mouth, their hearts. You see, you can say that you honor your father, but that is just with your mouth. So the main problem of honor here is their heart. True honor comes from their heart. God told the people in the book of Matthew chapter 15 verse 8 that these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. Their hearts are far. So God is saying, I will turn the hearts of the fathers. Their heart. A father can be in the house with you, but his heart has turned against you. A child can be in the house with his father, but the heart of that child has turned against his father. A son can be in the church with his spiritual father. Meanwhile, his heart has turned against his spiritual father. And he became what we call in our system a dangerous son. Dangerous son. He becomes an Absalom. Absalom is a son who fights his father. What can lead a son to fight his father? What can lead a son to dishonor his father? What can lead a son to disgrace his father? Is when the heart of the son has turned against his father. Amen. Or when the heart of the father has turned against the son, like you're going to see now, the son will curse his son. The father will curse his son. When the heart turns, you are in the house, but you have left his heart. You are not in his thoughts. You are not in his plans. If he had a will, chances are he will not put your name on it, or he will not give you anything of value. What has happened? What has happened? His heart has turned. From this morning, the Bible says he's preaching. My prayer is that this preaching, what I'm preaching this morning, will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. That a father watching me this morning will forgive his son. That a father watching me this morning will forgive his daughter. no matter what has happened, that you will open your heart again to that child, that you will realize they are your children, and that you have to come back and be a father to them. My prayer is that this preaching will cause a son, a daughter, that is so angry with her father or his father because the father left her and went away and has never looked back, has never looked for her, has never done anything for her or for him. The father has gone and abandoned the mother, all kinds of things. I don't want to go into those details. You know yourself the things that are going on in the house. But maybe over a period of time, your heart has turned against your father. This preaching, my prayer is that this preaching, because you see, when your heart turns against your father, you think that you deserve to be vindicated. You think that you deserve to be revenged. Your mother must be revenged for what your father has done. But unknown to you, God says, if you don't turn your heart, I will come and strike the family with a curse. That is what is going to happen. So I want you to now think about it. Do you want a curse over your refusing to turn your heart, or do you want a blessing? I pray that you will go for the blessing in the name of Jesus Christ. So what is the curse of Noah? What is this curse of dishonoring the fathers? What is it? It is called by some the curse of Noah. It is called by others the curse of Ham. Come with me and let's dissect it so you understand where the whole thing is coming from. Genesis chapter 9, verse 18 down to 25. The Bible says, listen carefully. I'm not going to preach for long, but I want you to grasp quickly what I'm about to say. The Bible says, so the sons of Noah who went out of the ark were, number one, Shem, two, Ham, three, Japhet. Noah had three sons. Remember, at this time, the whole world has been decimated by the flood. There are only 8 people on earth. Noah and his wife, that is 2. And the 3 sons with their wives. Noah didn't have daughters. He only had sons. And the 3 sons with their wives, that is making a family of 8. And it is, now, let's keep reading. Now, the next line says, and Ham was the father of Canaan. So they jump the first son, which is Shem. They jump the second son, the last born, which is Japhet. The middle son called Ham. They give you an important information about him already by the second line to say he was the father of Canaan. These 3 were the sons of Noah, and from these, meaning these 3 sons, the whole earth was populated. So it tells you that whoever you are seeing on earth today, it is no more just the issue of Adam and Eve. We went past that by the flood. By now, the whole world is populated by the 3 sons of Noah: Shem, Ham, and Japhet. All the nation, and it makes sense when you look at the colors, the race, because it's 3 sons that brought what you are seeing today. 3 sons. They are responsible for the population of the world as we know it today. So whatever is going on in any group, is coming from one of those 3, because it is one of those 3 that is responsible for every group you see. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say to you. Listen carefully. And Noah began to be a farmer, and he planted a vineyard. Then he drank of the wine and was drunk, and became uncovered in his tent. In other words, after he became drunk, he stripped off, took out his robe, and just fell flat on his bed. And you know, there are scriptures in the Bible, as I'm getting to my close, there are scriptures in the Bible that sometimes I wish I was there to change the course of events. Do you understand? One of those scriptures is, I wish I was there to tell Abel to not follow Cain in the farm. Because we know what happened when Abel followed Cain that day in the farm. Who know what could have happened? Who know what type of children Abel could have brought to this world? Because Abel really feared God. Another one is, I wish I could have told Saul to wait for Samuel. not waiting for Samuel, destroy Saul. I mean, there are very sad stories in the Bible. Some are very sad, some are very nice. And you know, I wish here I was here this day and I could have told him, "Ham, we are in your loins. Please go far from the tent. In fact, go in the bush for a three-day retreat." I wish I was there that day. You see, when something bad is about to happen, you wish you were there to change the course of events. I cannot say I wish I told Noah not to drink, but I wish that day Ham was busy with his brothers, whatever the brothers were doing. I wish Ham was together with them. You see, the danger of always isolating yourself, the danger of always trying to be different from other people, it gets you in serious trouble. That is what happened when a buffalo moves from the herd and goes by itself somewhere else. That is what happened when Eve left her husband and went on her corner by herself. That separation, not being where, you see, when he went out, as you can see now, he found Japhet and Shem together, which means he was out of the group. And in the heart, there is always a child who feels he's not like the others. And before you realize, you start going your own way. You start going your own way. And I wish this day I was there to tell him, stick with your brothers. Whatever they are doing, that's where you should be. But no. After Noah began to, Noah drank, and now the Bible, the next says, and Ham, the father of Canaan. They keep telling you about the father. He's the father of Canaan. So the nakedness of his father. And after seeing the nakedness of his father, the Bible says, and he told his two brothers outside. Meaning he was inside and they were outside. They were not in the same location, geographically speaking. When he saw the weakness of his father, when he saw the shortcoming of his father, when he saw what his father had done wrong, he didn't keep quiet about it. He didn't do like Elisha, "I know about it, keep your peace, be quiet." He thought this was news for the town. I mean, after all, the flood has killed everybody. There is no excitement. There's nothing new around here. We need some exciting news. And it seems like daddy these days is just busy acting for us. It's, you know, when your father does something and you are excited to talk about it, you are excited to disgrace him. That is what is going on here. When you see something your pastor has done, and you see, "Yo, finally, I knew something is wrong with this man. I knew it." Maybe sometimes when I preach, I quote the wrong scripture or I use the wrong name, and there you got me. Then you now make a list of it. Huh? You can't believe the things people say when they step out of the tent. You can't believe the things people say when they step out of the church. You can't believe the things people say when they step out of the house. The same house that fed them, the same church that built them up, the same church where they got saved, the same church where they got baptized, the same church where all kinds of things, blessed things happened to them. You can't believe the things they start saying when they go outside. You can't believe. They believe that it is time for them to now go and expose. I've had people leaving the church, not these days, but back then, and they will think that they have now received a new assignment to go from house to house and publicized. That actually shows how stupid the person is, because if you believe that what you are doing is right, why don't you just go and do it? Why do you need support? The moment you need somebody to hear the story, it means you yourself, you are not sure of yourself. You are not sure of yourself because you need support for you to feel like what you are doing is right. Why don't you go by yourself to prove to us that what you are doing is true? Why do you need to go and tell that when I'm leaving the church, to go and tell that when I'm leaving the house, to go and tell that when this has happened? Why? Because you know inside you that you are not even sure of what you are doing yourself. You know it. and you are looking for support, you have entered into politics. A politician always needs a crowd for him to feel like he's important. But a leader doesn't need a crowd. He is his own crowd. He's his own crowd. Here's him going to publicize the weakness of his father. Now, there are many stories behind this. I don't want to go to them today, but there are deeper stuff. Some scholars found out that it seems like it was not just that him saw the nakedness of his father. There is more. We won't talk about that today. Praise God. But let's just take it literally. He saw the weakness of his father and he went and publicized it. But look at the difference between him and his brothers. Just to show you that they were having fellowship together all the time and he was not interested because of how they reacted when he told them, I pray that I will have such members in this church.
Amen.
I will have Shems and Japheth at Allah Baba Church.
Amen.
People of God that love their father.
Amen.
That are standing with their father no matter what they hear, no matter how nice it sounds, no matter how interesting it sounds. When they hear it, they are not interested.
Amen.
When you are thinking that they will follow you into doing what you are doing, they do the complete opposite. Where are the Shems and the Japheth at APC? Where are the Shems and the Japheth in the churches today? Men and women that will not respond like him. That will not do what people think they will do. I've said, you see, when you behave like him, you are a him already. You are just waiting for an opportunity to reveal it. But when you are a Shem, even if the hem of the poison of hem comes to you, you will never allow it to affect you.
Amen.
You will remain loyal.
Amen.
So Shem and Japheth took a garment, look at the attitude, and laid it both on their shoulders. Who taught them that? And went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. Shem and Japheth do not expose the nakedness of their fathers because he is their father. Even when he's drunk, he remains their father. Even when he makes mistakes, a man is not a father because he's perfect, brothers and sisters. A man is a father because he has given birth to children. And Ham forgot that if it wasn't for the obedience of Noah, he was going to be a dead man, drowned in the water like the whole world had happened. Where was Ham when God spoke to Noah? Why couldn't he be there to defend us? No, Ham forgot that it is that same father that is the reason why he is alive today. Many of you do not know that it is because of your spiritual father that you are on your way to heaven today. But you will open your mouth and say anything that comes to your heart. May God forgive us.
Amen.
May we become Shems and Japheth. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible said their faces were turned away. Not that they cannot see it. They refuse to see it. A Shem and a Japheth can see the mistake, but they refuse to see them. They refuse to focus on them. There is a bigger picture. And they got highly rewarded for it. And they did not see their father's nakedness. So Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done to him. And at that time, his heart turned. That's why I'm saying, I wish I was there that day to make him to not do what he did. But now it's too late. Noah is now aware of what has happened. And then he said, curse be Canaan. A servant of servants he shall be to his brethren. This is the curse of dishonoring a father. Every time you dishonor a father, you demote yourself to becoming a servant of servants. That's what happened to him and his descendants, because Canaan is the son of him. And like I'm saying, there are other things connected to it, because Ham, as you're going to see now, had three sons, they had four, but Noah targeted Canaan. There's a reason for that. I'll tell you about that another time. But I want you to realize here that when the father's heart turned against his son, he released a curse, and that curse fell on his descendants forever. Forever. And I want you to understand something, people of God, because the whole world came out of these three guys. It is therefore believed, and scripturally so, that the African people descend from Ham. Come with me, let me show you that in the Bible. Psalm 105 verse 23, the Bible says, "Then Israel arrived in Egypt. Jacob lived as a foreigner in the land of Ham." So Egypt is called the land of Ham. Do you understand? And Egypt is where? In Africa. And Egypt is in Psalm 105 verse 23. Egypt is called the land of Ham. That is the first indication I'm giving you. Let me give you the second. Come with me to the book of Genesis chapter 10 verse 6. The Bible says the sons of Ham were Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. Four of them. Ham's sons were Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. Now, let me give you the same verse in the Good News Translation. This is how it reads. The sons of Ham were Cush, Egypt, Libya, and Canaan. When you do a little study further about Cush, you realize that Cush, the name Cush means, the meaning of Cush is black or dark skinned. In scripture, when you see Cush, Cush literally means Ethiopia or Nubia. So if I want to read it fully to you, I will say the sons of Ham were Ethiopia, Egypt, Libya, and Canaan. Three of those sons are located in Africa. Do you understand? And the Bible says the sons were the ancestors of the peoples who bear their names. They are the ancestors. Cush means black. Do you know that Niger means black? Niger, where you get Nigeria, Niger, all of that, it means black. And that is where the Americans converted, it's called Nigger. It's actually Niger, meaning black. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So that curse, therefore, look, many people really have a problem with this, and I will not be surprised if you're having a problem with it. I'm not saying to you that it is a done deal. Go and do your own study, no problem. But I want you to know that based on just the little scriptures I have read for you, the descendants of Ham, who saw the nakedness of his father, and according to scholars, did more than that. He unlocked a curse that is responsible for what has happened to a particular group of people on earth today. That it is unmistakable. You cannot say you're not seeing it. It is clear. So the curse, you see, I don't want you to get agitated and angry that, "Pastor, do you mean black people are cursed?" Just understand what the curse means. Once you look at the curse itself, don't just get angry. I'm not saying that black people are cursed. I'm saying that there's a certain curse on the sons of Ham. And if you look at that curse, and then you now look on the three groups, the major groups on earth, which group represents that one the most, then you will understand what I'm talking about. The curse is, "A servant of servants you shall be to your brethren." That is the curse. Now, to be a servant of servants means to be the last, the least, and the lowest in everything, everywhere. That is what it means. That you always be the last, you'll always be the least, and the lowest in everything. May that never be your portion. As a matter of fact, I came to reveal this so that we can break it out of our lives. How to neutralize the curse of Ham, the curse of dishonoring fathers, and what it brings as consequences. I will, unless the hearts of the children turn to the fathers, I will start the land with a curse. I want to quickly close. I know you are getting excited, but let me quickly give you a few guys, because What does it look like to be a servant of servants in practical terms in our world today? And which group of the people, the major group, meaning the African, the Asians, the Europeans, which are the three major groups, like the Arabs, all of that fall to a certain group down in the Middle East. Mainly speaking, the three sons of Noah gave rise to these three main groups. The African, the Caucasian, and the Asian. Which group seems to best represent that sentence, a servant of servants? I want you to talk to me. Which group best display that case? So I'm going to give you 8 characteristics of a servant of servants. Then I want you to now check in your own mind and check which group of those major group of the three sons, which group has those characteristics all the time. And then make a decision today that you will not be in that group. Amen. Or that you will stop behaving that way. Yes. Number one, servants of servants usually are poor leaders and poor managers. That's the first thing. It's because by nature they are servants of servants. How can they lead? The curse on a servant of servants is a curse to say you can never lead. You can never be ahead. You can never be prominent. And there is a group on this world that, for some reasons, they don't know how to lead. As a matter of fact, when they are leading, you are not okay. You are not happy. Even yourself, you are watching me right now. When one of them is your leader, you are not happy. You prefer to have another person leading you from another group. You always feel better when a person from another group is leading you. People have even said things like, the medication of a black man is a white man. Those such statements. You think about it. There is a group in this world that when they are leading, people are poor. When they are leading, people suffer. When they are leading, people don't grow. When they are leading, people don't get better. So people have been exiting Africa like you can't believe it. Not because Africa doesn't have natural resources. Oh, you can look around. We are blessed. People are exiting because of leadership. Because the basic things that are required for people to live and thrive are not there. Where certain people are in power, roads can never be straight. When certain people are leading, money always disappears. Money for the road becomes money for their house. Servants of servants are poor leaders and poor managers. They can't handle things. Any money you give to them to do a project, you come up after 3 days, you'll see yourself. What will happen there? Which group best does things like that? That in Africa today, even to make roads, you need to go and call Chinese to come and make them for you. Because you know, if you give the money to a certain group, the road will never be made. The road can never be made if you give the money to a certain person. You need to go and get somebody. And you know yourself that if I give this money to this particular person, the road will be there. And if I give that money to this particular person, the road will never be there. I know it. Can you point any other group on this earth that has that problem? Apart from the group you know yourself. Who else? A servant of servants. That's what it is. There are so many. We don't have time. But I promise you, next week, I want to continue. I want you to see more of them. But let me just give you one last one, and then we'll give you the other six next week by the grace of God. Amen. Servants of servants live in filthy and disorganized places. Filthy. Remember, they are servants of servants. They live in filthy and disorganized places. Roads are not straight. Houses are not well. Like, everything is messed up. Do you know another group of people, even in your country, that best represent that characteristic I've just given now? Filthy. The place is smelly. They are there. There are toilets. We don't even want to go there. There is a group in this world. Their toilets is something else. And you see, the reason I'm mentioning the toilet is because if you go to another group, the toilet, you can eat, you can drink tea inside. You can drink tea, you can go through your emails, you can even read a book. They even encourage you to have a book in the toilet. But how can you have a book in the toilet if you are in a certain environment among a certain group? They smell like you yourself, you want to finish quickly to get out of there fast because you know what is going on there. Which other group have you found in this world that has such toilets? Go to the schools that are run by people of that group. Go to the toilets of those schools and come and tell me. You will find feces that have blocked inside the toilet because there is no running water. Water stopped running 3 years ago. The feces have filled the toilet to capacity and people are still sending more feces in the toilet. There's no other group here on earth that does that. Filthy environment. Check the yards. Grass is when the grass is entering inside the house that they wake up and they make a small path where they're going to walk. The whole yard is a mess. They dig a small toilet here, it gets filled. They dig another one there, it gets filled. Like the whole place, there's no direction. Our beach is a toilet for some. When they want to ease themselves, they'll go to the beach. Other people use the beach to make money. They keep it clean so that people can go there. We use the beach to go and poo-poo. That's what is going on. Look, I don't want... just come next week again. I have more to share with you. But the reason I'm showing that this is how that thing was, a servant of servants. He doesn't know how to lead people because he's a servant. Refuse that on you. That is, when you also choose to just be another stupid leader, you have fulfilled the curse on yourself. Decide today that you're going to be a smart leader. You're going to be a leader that has a vision. Amen. You're going to be a great manager, an excellent manager. Amen. I believe I'm talking to people that are breaking the curse of harm from their lives. Men and women that are saying, Pastor, if this group can do it, if that group can do it, we too can do it. Amen. They are not better than us. We just need to stop doing things in a certain way and start doing them in a different way. Amen. You'll be surprised that those people buy toilet seat the same place where you buy yours. But theirs are clean. The other ones are dirty. What is this? Decide today, your toilet must be clean. Amen. Your yard must be clean. Amen. Your room must be clean. Amen. Your house must be clean. Amen. When you are building a house, decide that your house will be built respecting the road. Yes, sir. Not that this one, the house is inside, in the middle of the road. I mean, I know a house here in Kakiso too. The man came and planted the house in the road. You ask yourself, what type of witchcraft is this? Like, you can see how the line is going, how everybody is trying, but the man put his house in the middle of the road. These organized communities. Most of our communities, you never find water. We cannot bring water in the community. Not to talk of managing the waste. Look, don't miss next week. Next week, we're going deeper into these things. But for now, just these two. May that curse be broken over your life. Amen. The curse of dishonoring fathers that turns you into a person that doesn't know what they are doing. You must see them when they dishonor their pastor and they leave the church and they live as if they have achieved something. Watch and see how that curse comes and sits on them. And they start descending into oblivion. Before you realize, they disappear in the system. They disappear. And the father they were laughing at is rising higher. It's rising higher. The curse of dishonoring your father is that you yourself become dishonored. You lose any sense of honor because it is dishonorable to have filthy toilets. It is dishonorable to have filthy houses. It is dishonorable to be unable to build your own road. To have to bring a contractor from China and America to come and build your road for you. It is dishonorable. But because we dishonor, our ancestor dishonored his father, that thing fell on us. This morning we are saying, honor your father. If you are a son, honor your father. You are releasing a blessing upon yourself when you honor your fathers. The Bible says it shall be well with you. When it is well with you, things go well for you. Hallelujah. Please stand on your feet and begin to thank God that he has sent this word to help you and deliver you from this dishonoring thing. That you will not be one of those who dishonor the authorities. Open your mouth and begin to ask God to help you right now. Wherever you are. Wherever you are. And don't tell me you don't know what I'm teaching. And please don't get angry with the preaching. The preaching is not to condemn you. The preaching is to awaken your spirit. To tell you the way we are going, we want to replicate the curse continuously. Because there's another group of people who don't do what we are doing. They don't behave like that. They don't live like that. Why are we like that? Let that curse be broken today. I'm standing here as a father to say, let the curse of Ham be broken over your life. Let the curse of Ham be broken over your life. In the name of Jesus. Father, descend upon us now at APC. Descend upon us and awaken the minds, awaken the hearts, and turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and turn the hearts of the children to their fathers. Let there be honor in the system. Let there be grace in the system. Let there be a decision to fight the curse of Ham with everything within us. We learned last week that you need wisdom to fight the curse. It is not just prayer, my friend. The things I'm teaching can bring deliverance faster than even laying hands on you, if you can understand them. You realize that people will never respect you as long as you cannot build a road for yourself. People will never respect you as long as you cannot build your own toilet, or you cannot build a decent toilet. Your toilet must always be far from your house because you yourself, you know. But there are other people, the toilet is next to their bed and there's no problem. Your toilet must be far from the house because you know yourself that if it is anywhere near you, it is disaster. Other people have neutralized that thing. The toilet is inside the house. They build a 100-story building and there are toilets everywhere. And nobody is complaining. Can't you see that something is lacking? It's about time we break this curse. Put your hands together for Jesus this morning. Quickly, before I close, you are watching me. You are saying, Pastor, I have never heard something like this before. This is my first time. Well, we thank God for the word. But what are you going to do about it? Last week, we learned that the curse is broken by Jesus. It is Jesus of Nazareth who has the power through his blood to break the first major curse you need to break before you even come to harm. You need to break the curse of the law. The curse of the law that takes people to hell. Mercy. You might never go to hell because your toilet is dirty, but you will surely go to hell if you are a sinner. And Jesus came to neutralize that major curse. Right now, wherever you are saying, Pastor, I want to be born again. I don't want to go to hell. I want to become a child of God. I'm tired of living under the curse of sin and death. I want to turn to the blessing of life and liberty. Right now, you are saying, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to pray for you. I want to ask at the count of three to raise your right hand, and I'm going to pray with you. One, two, three. Please raise your right hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I'm going to ask the Streamstar leaders to come to the front right now, and they're going to take over from here. Those that are remaining connected to me through the live streams and other churches and other branches, listen. Anybody in that stream side or in that house where that's watching me right now, you are born again, but you have not continued with God. You started, but you stopped along the way. Right now, you can see the signs of the curse all around you. Why don't you come back to the place where you got free the first time? Why don't you come back to God? I'm talking to you. Right now, you are saying, Pastor, I want to recommit my life to Jesus. Please, let me pray with you. At the count of three, raise your hand. I want to come back to God. I want to come back to Jesus. I want to come back to the place of the blessing. Brother, the blessing is better than the curse. Anytime, any day, anywhere. Come to God. One, two, three. Raise your right hand. Amen. Those hands are rising. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Those hands are rising. We give thanks to God. Right about now, we're going to pray a prayer of faith from the bottom of our hearts. Maybe you've prayed it before, but this morning I want you to mean it. Repeat this word, these blessed words after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again, that I might be justified. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.